Please remain standing.
All right, if you would take your Bibles, we're going to go back to the book of 1 Peter. Messed up, but it is. 1 Peter chapter number 1. I do want to make an announcement to you as well. We've got some exciting news for our church, and that is the building plans for our church are finished. They're done. Finished. And we're actually going to be applying for a permit to build a new building this week. And with the County of Kauai. Now, there's four permits that we need to apply for. One, the first one is a demolition permit. And as I understand it, the county will gladly give us that permit. Probably no questions asked. So I guess, tear it down, fine. The second permit is a grading permit, and this one's going to be a little bit more difficult as well. We really need to pray for that one because this one involves people that are really concerned about the environment. And when people are really concerned about environment, there's a lot of hoops that you got to go through. Like, what dirt are you removing? What's in that dirt? Where are you putting that dirt? Where, you know, all these different things you got to figure out. How much dirt, all of this stuff. And so pray for that permit. It's a big one. The grading permit. Then the third permit is a retaining wall permit. We're going to put in a retaining wall back into the hill past the building. And then the fourth permit is the actual building permit for our church. And so what's amazing about this also is there's a lady on island whose job it is to walk permits through the county. She is hired by companies to go to the county building and help them submit the permits, and then she goes and visits them and makes sure it's moving through the county. And that lady is a believer in Jesus Christ, and she has found out about our project, and she has volunteered to do that for us for free. So we're really excited about that as well. So a lot of cool things happening. I'm not going to lie to you. This is going to be a huge undertaking, all right? To price it out, to have the building built by a contractor, just straight up to hire somebody, do all the work, we'll sit back and let it be done, it would cost us close to $1 million. I'm not going to lie. So, yeah. So, there goes that building project, right? But there are creative ways in which we are going to try to reduce the cost, including having projects done by our church and different things and getting people to come in and help us. So, it's going to take us some giving still. And there's also a grant out there that we're trying to get. So there's a lot of things that have to happen. But keep praying. And amazing things are happening there. We're excited. I'm excited. Just relieved that the plans are done. That's been a huge and so glad to have that done and excited about what God has for us in the future. But keep praying. And if you can, keep giving. And that would be a blessing. So we're in 1 Peter chapter number 1. We will begin reading in verse number 3. Now, I'm not going to preach all of these verses that I'm going to read for you this morning. I'm actually just going to preach a few of them, 3, 4, and 5. But I want to read the entire thing because they're all connected, all right? And so we're going to begin in verse number 3 and read down through verse number 12. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have endured and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which in them did signify when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it is revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us that did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you by the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look
into.
We're going to get into the rest of this because it's amazing too, but we're going to look at the first verses here, 3, 4, and 5 this morning. Let's pray, and we'll get into our message today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you. We thank you for this time that you've given to us. Thank you for church. God, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd help us as we seek to grow in you. And I pray that you'd help us to hold fast to these three things that you have given to us by your mercy that we can never lose, that can never be taken away from us. And no matter what things we go through, including manifold, heavy temptations, these will always be ours. Because of your mercy, because of your love for us. We thank you for this time. I pray that you bless this service. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So we are picking up. Last week we looked at the greeting of Peter. Now we're going to be looking at a song of praise. And this is just Peter just praising God. The reality is, you know, we just received news that we got new building. The building plans are done. They're finished. And it looks beautiful. It's an amazing thing that we see. And I want to praise God. And this is kind of Peter as he's getting ready to write to these strangers. He's saying, I just want to, just for a second, just praise God. And really, this song of praise, the best way I could describe it is a table of contents and a preface to the rest of the book. It is basically what we're going to go through the rest of the book when we look at these new identities, suffering as a witness to Jesus, suffering and our future hope, and in the closing, these three sections really in the closing are all wrapped up here in this greeting. It's an amazing thing. To be perfectly honest with you, when you read it, for me, I find this passage absolutely beautiful. It's more than just truth, although that's enough, and that's amazing. I find it truly soothing to my soul. I find it beautiful to read, to understand. I think it's amazing, this passage of Scripture, even the verses that we read this morning. We're going to break it down and hopefully learn some of the powerful truths that God wants us to know. And the interesting thing is this passage that I read for you, verses 3 through 12, is 10 verses long. But when you look at it, there's only three sentences in English. So it's three sentences over 10 verses, but in the Greek language, it's just one big, long sentence. It's one sentence long. Three in English, 10 in our verses, and that's how it breaks down. So we're going to look at the first English sentence this morning, 1 Peter chapter 3, or 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. I think it's beautiful. I think it's amazing. It's a greeting. It's a song of praise. And it's interesting because it's very similar. The first verse is very similar to a greeting in Ephesians. Now, if you're going to the Lahui Growth Group, Brother Richard is going through the book of Ephesians, and he would have read this similar greeting. It's Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse number 3. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You can see there's a lot of similarities. But they do differ near the end. And I want to spend some time looking at the first part of this poetic song of praise this morning, because I believe where it differs in 1 Peter, not that what's said here is not true and amazing, it is, but it has to do with Peter's life. And he is rejoicing over what has happened to him in his life and what has happened to these other Gentile Christians. But we're going to see a couple of things this morning. The first thing that I want us to see is according to his abundant mercy. As we read 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ for the dead. So when Peter, the Apostle Peter, considered his salvation, when he considered that he had a relationship with God through his Savior Jesus Christ, the first thing that he has, his immediate response is, I'm going to praise God. And that's why we call this the Song of Praise, because he is praising God here. This is especially significant because the motive for God's work is found in him, not in us. And I know it's tempting to say, well, God is not blessing me. And I understand there's a chastening of God that happens when we do stray and we go aside. God will bring us back into a right relationship with him because of his great love for us. But the reality is the things that we have in Jesus Christ that we're going to talk about this morning are not according to our works. They're not according to things that we've done or earned or been born into. No pedigree, no job, no good works, no amount of giving will earn these things. What we have in Jesus Christ, and the reason why God is blessed, the Father of Jesus Christ is blessed, is because these things that we have are according to his mercy. As we learned last week, the life of Peter was full of adventure and misadventure and drama. He is incredible. He's an amazing man and wonderful to study his life. But of all of Peter's blunders, there's one that for me really stands out. I think it ruined him as well. It did ruin him, to be honest with you. And it has to do with the time that Peter denied Jesus three times when he was on the cross. Now, it didn't ruin him forever because of God's mercy, and we're thankful for that. And we're going to see that, but it did mess him up pretty bad when it happened. I want to read for you the portion of Scripture. Here we go back to the crucifixion in Matthew chapter 26, verses 69 through 75. Now Peter sat without the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." When he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto him, them that were there, "This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied with an oath, "I do not know the man." And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee." Then he began to curse and swear, saying, "I know not the man." And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the words of Jesus, which said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. The reality is this story is pathetic. It's pitiful. It's a terrible end, if that was the end. But because of the mercy of Jesus Christ, because of the grace of God, this was not going to be the end. And Peter was actually going to experience that mercy in an incredible way. So I want to take you to how Jesus wraps this all up back in the book of John chapter 21 and verse 14. Now this was the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he had risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these?" And he saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." He said unto him, "Feed my lambs." He saith unto him the second time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" And he saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee." And he saith unto him, "Feed my sheep." And he saith unto him a third time, "Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me?" Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, "Lovest thou me?" And he said unto him, "Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee." And Jesus saith to him, "Feed my sheep." To me, if there was one word to describe this passage, it would be mercy. Jesus is extending mercy to Peter. Peter had just a few days ago denied Jesus in an emphatic way, and they say, "Your speech betrayeth thee." And so he goes out of his way to make sure that they understand that his speech is not Jesus' speech. He begins to curse and swear and cuss and do all these different things. And he says, maybe he's not with Jesus, right? Because Jesus wouldn't do that. And then the cock crows, the rooster crows, and everything in Peter is just crushed. Because he remembered the words of Jesus. And the Bible says he went out and he wept
bitterly.
And you can kind of tell, you can see it when Jesus rose from the dead. Peter was excited about that, but it seems that there was still something hanging over Peter. Man, I denied him while I was on the cross. And Jesus extends to him mercy. Mercy is compassion or forgiveness shown towards someone who deserves punishment. You know what? The reality is, if this would have been really any other person besides Jesus, right? And they were going through a difficult time, and the person who was supposed to stick up for them, the person who was supposed to stand with them, the person who was supposed to defend them, betrayed him in that moment. And after he gets through that trial, he would come to him and say, "Hey, where were you, man? What happened? You denied me while I was on the cross." That would, I think, be most people's normal reaction to what had happened here. But that was not mercy. That's not Jesus. And Peter is saying in this passage in 1 Peter, I know what mercy is. And it is according to his abundant mercy that we are saved, or the word here is begotten again. It's by his mercy, and I know that mercy, and I've experienced that mercy. And the reality is that mercy that Peter was demonstrated that motivated the song of praise. It was the mercy of God that motivated Peter's love. It was the goodness, the kindness, the mercy of God that leads us to repentance. And God is abundant mercy. That's the first thing that he's saying to these believers that are scattered abroad, these believers that are going through trials. Hey, God is a God that's abundant mercy, and it's according to his abundant mercy that we have some incredible gifts. The second thing I want us to see is that God is our Father by the new birth. Again, we read, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again. The word begotten us again is different from the words born again, but its meaning is the same. The word translated begotten is also translated in verse 23 of the same chapter as born and begotten. And Peter's idea is that when a person is saved, they are made a new creation. But being born again means more than just being a new creation. It also brings with that a new relationship. We become the children of God. He's emphasizing that we're begotten by the Father. We are adopted by the Father because of Jesus Christ. And that is according to his mercy. It's not because you're a good person. It's not because you failed to deny Jesus Christ or did deny Jesus Christ or didn't or did anything that you've done. It's by his mercy that he's begotten us again. God, according to his mercy, has made you his child by the new birth. And it is a transformational truth to know that you are a child of God. Now, I want to stress this because this is important. Not everyone is a child of God. Not everybody is God's child. Now, it is true. Well, I will say this. It is very common to hear some people claim we are all God's children, right? We hear that a lot. Hey, we're all God's children. And that's not true. We are all God's creation, but we are all not God's children. To become a child of God, you must be, as Jesus said in John 3, born again. You must be born again to become his child. Again, in John chapter 1, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And so the belief of receiving Christ is what initiates the adoption process that happens in an instant, and we become a child of God the moment we're saved. But we are not God's child simply because we are a human. Listen to Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. I believe I have it here for you. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. This is a fascinating passage of Scripture as well. There is nothing greater than being called a child of God. And that is not something that simply happens because you are alive. You must be born again. And that is according to his mercy. And so we see all these truths beginning to come together from the Apostle Peter to us. Hey, God is blessed. We bless God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of his abundant mercy, we are begotten again. And that's exciting. But these things, to be his child, you have to be born again or begotten again. And that is something to praise God for. Amen. I think that, and again, we were talking to Richard about their Ephesians chapter 1, and they're in chapter 2 now. He said, honestly, I'm just overwhelmed by the fact that God would give me this gift. Who am I to deserve this gift? And the reality is nothing. We are nothing. I'm nothing. None of us are. And we have to praise him for his mercy. Never lose track of that. Never get to the point in your Christian life where you think and I think that we deserve to be saved. Never do that. I think sometimes we can get our act together, we can get cleaned up, and we can get serving God, and we get to making a difference. We think, wow, look at what I'm doing for God. Makes sense that he would save me. Man, never get there. Always remain in a place of humility and of praise to God for his abundant mercy. And that's, I think, the spirit of Peter here. He remembers who he was. He remembers what he did. The reality is Judas betrayed Christ and Peter denied him. And those things are not that much different. They are different, but they're not that far apart. Peter knew what he had done. And God's mercy said, "Do you love me?" One time. Do you love me? Two times. Do you love me? Three times. All right, Peter. Feed my sheep, feed my lambs. It's an exciting thing to be born again and to know that you're born again. And by the way, that is the identity that we should live in. There's a final thing here I want to look at, and that is the lively hope. Let's continue reading in verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. So God, according to his abundant mercy, has saved us or begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And that hope is to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. A lively hope. This is one of the keys to this letter. Again, he's writing to people who are going through heaviness because of manifold trials and tribulations, manifold tribulations, manifold trials. And the reality is they need hope to go through it. They need something to hang on to, and that's why he's writing them. And it was written to Christians living in modern-day Turkey. Modern-day Turkey then was difficult. And these churches that he mentions, Galatia, Pontus, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, they're all in modern-day Turkey. It's a very difficult country even to get into today. But there's a lot of biblical significance to that country. And even today, if you're a Christian in Turkey, it's bad news. And it was, in that day, if you're a Christian in what we call modern-day Turkey, it was bad news. It was difficult. It was a trial. And many of them would give their lives, as Peter would give his life. The word lively literally means living. The living hope. We are begotten again to a lively or living hope because we have eternal life in Jesus Christ, in our Savior, who has conquered death himself. He has risen from the dead. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what gives us our hope. because he's not a dead Savior. He's a living Savior. I want to read these words that Charles Spurgeon wrote. If you don't know who Charles Spurgeon is, he was a great preacher of generations ago. But he wrote this about the lively hope. He says, it is called a living hope because it is imperishable. Other hopes fade like withering flowers. The hopes of the rich, the boasts of the proud, all these will die out as a candle when it flickers in the socket. The hope of the greatest monarch will be crushed before our eyes. He set up the standard of victory too soon and has seen it trailed into the mire. There is no unwaning hope between the changeful moon. The only imperishable hope is that which climbs above the stars and fixes itself upon the throne of God and the person of Jesus Christ. What's fascinating about this to me is this is a contrast again that Peter is making between the Old Testament and the New. The Old Testament promises and the living hope that we have in Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, the land of Canaan was regarded as the inheritance given by God. He owned the land, and he had given this to the patriarchs and the descendants of Israel throughout their history. This is their promised land. It's their inheritance, the land. And it was often defiled. It was often lost and then gained and then lost as the result of idolatries and foreign invasions and captivities that they went through. And even today, there's a great struggle for who actually owns the land in Palestine. And this is inheritance that is, again, often defiled. It often fades away. It's difficult for them. But we know that our inheritance is incorruptible. Our inheritance can never be taken away into captivity, even if we ourselves are taken away into captivity. Our inheritance is undefiled, even again if we ourselves are, if our bodies are defiled. And it will never fade away because it's reserved in heaven for us. And again, we cannot experience this inheritance. We cannot be an heir of God through Christ unless we are a child of God, unless we are born again. And that's an important truth. And finally, the Bible says, and are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time. I love this because you know what? I am so glad that my privilege to be called a child of God, to be an heir to an inheritance reserved in heaven for me, is not dependent on my power. I'm not kept by my power. I'm not kept by your power. We're not even kept by each other's power. Although we do support each other, though we do pray for each other, although we are there for each other, we're kept by the power of God. Yes, these Christians are suffering, and many, including Peter, would die for their faith. But there's no power on earth, and there's no sin in our life. Now, we shouldn't live in sin, but there's no sin even in our life, and there's not even death itself can take away our identity as a child of God, can take away the mercy that God has shown us to become a child of God, and can take away our inheritance. Nothing can take away that hope. And so as these Christians are going through this difficult time, and as they were struggling, as they were going through persecution, as they were losing their lives, he's saying, listen, this is your hope. God's merciful to you. He's begotten you again. You are his child, and you have a lively hope. And all of that is kept, not by you, but by the power of God.
Nothing can happen to you that can take that away. And that's exciting.
I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. I think, man, woo, I'm glad I'm a child of God.
And yeah, it's going to, in this life, in this body, it's going to struggle. It's going to be tough. We're going to get sick. People are going to be sick to us. Just because you love the person who's giving you that. And why wouldn't you love him? Why wouldn't you serve him?
But I hope that this letter, it's an exciting letter. We're not done yet. We're going to go through the rest of this song of praise in the coming weeks. But this is, I hope that you would agree with me that this is some beautiful scripture. It's amazing. And it's truth that we can live our lives by. So I want to ask you as we close, what about you this morning? Are you suffering? In one way or another, I think most of us are. Are you struggling to understand what is God doing? I hope you'll rest in this hope. He's merciful to you. He's begotten you again. You are his child. He has inheritance for you, and you're kept by the power of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you this morning. We thank you for this time, Lord. I pray that you bless this time of invitation. I pray that you'd help us to live according to this hope. God, help us not to ever get to the place where we think that we're sufficient of ourselves and we begin to claim the identity that is not our identity as a child of God. I'm a child of God. It's more important than anything in this life. And God, would you strengthen us as we will go through difficulties, health issues, persecutions, just flat out difficulty because of that relationship with you. But that relationship also gives us incredible, living hope. But help us to meditate upon these truths today and this week, and help us to really begin to saturate ourselves with what you're saying in this word. Maybe even we can memorize these passages of scripture so that when we go through our trials, they're there for us. We can rest on them. And God, would you strengthen our church? We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to take our hymn book. We're going to go to hymn number 160. Turn your